Oh my God, it is happening. We are back, the Energy Matters podcast. We're both still here and alive. I'm with Cody Edner, my co-host. Cody, it is good to be back with you, buddy.
It is good to be back, David. And by now, I'm sure many people were wondering, like, are they alive? Did they fall off the planet? Did they escape this mess?
I've been waiting to get abducted, but it hasn't happened yet. So here I am. We haven't done an episode in just about 2 years. And we have been teaching this whole time. We've had classes through the Energy Matters Academy, and we did a retreat this past year in Boulder. We're going to do another one in 2024. We've had a lot going on, but I think it was 6 years maybe straight of us doing the podcast and interviewing some really interesting people. And we decided to take a break, and we are back. So we have no idea how many episodes we're going to do, but we just decided we wanted to record some more. So here we are. And in this one, we're going to do the 2024 energy update. And what I mean by that is I want to start with a little bit of what's been going on with me and Cody, and then we can get into what's happening on the planet. We've got wars in Ukraine and in the Middle East. AI has come out since our last episode, and there's a lot of change happening on the planet. COVID ended, and I think a lot of people are feeling uneasy, a sense of anxiety around the direction of the planet. I hear a lot of World War III jokes.
That's no joke.
That's no joke.
Has it been 6 years, I guess, since we really started? It has been a while that we did lots of episodes, and we started teaching and have taught numerous year-long courses and the retreats and different things that we've done. It's been an exciting, really, 6 years. In our last episode, we were talking about the launch of your book. So that was kind of where everything, we decided maybe to take a break, and you were busy with that and with all of your creating and things that you're doing. And
yeah,
it's been quite a ride.
That's right. I put my book out, and then I also launched Meditation School, the Meditation School app. Now I'm doing meditation teacher training certifications. It's actually a new one starting right now, our 9-month program. And so I put a lot of energy and time into that. And I've done a ton of traveling. Last year, I spent 3 months in Nepal, India, Bhutan, Thailand, Australia. Where else did I go? Spain and Italy teaching. That was pretty special. The Nepal-Bhutan retreats were pretty darn cool, hiking the Himalayas and doing some philanthropy. That was special. Next week, well, maybe by the time this comes out, I'll already be there, but I'm teaching a retreat in Mexico, and then later in the year, Bali. So I've done a ton of traveling, and it's been great, but I'm also happy to be home in my log cabin-looking house.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a bit more of a homebody with the family. My daughter graduated from college and has moved off, and we did a little traveling. I went to Norway and Sweden, and that was really fun, beautiful country to see. But I've just been continuing with, I work with mediums, and that's mainly my passion, is to teach people how to access their mediumship and how to use that for healing. And certainly the state of the world today, everywhere I look, people are in need of healing, and a sense of grounding and connectedness is so important. It feels like the energy feels so unhinged and ungrounded and unpredictable. It seems like things used to be a little bit more steady and not predictable in a bad way, but just predictable in a way that it was kind of safe and grounded and moving forward. And now it just feels like everything's going in a million different directions. And AI in the mix just ups that question mark in my mind.
Yeah. And also on a personal level, our friend Michael Tamura passed away, who was really special teacher. He was teaching the intuitive work for well over 40 years. And you grew up with him, teaching with him in California. And so that just happened in the intuitive development world. So he
that was kind of big in our world. I grew up learning from him and being around him, and learned a lot over the years from him. And yeah, he was teaching this energy awareness and energy healing work for over probably since 1973. So a long, long time running.
We should.
And that was a big thing. He was, well, we interviewed him. He was one of our early interviews on the podcast.
I was going to say, yeah, we can, maybe we'll reintroduce that episode and share it again so everyone can hear us talking with Michael towards the end of his life. That would be cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I launched the meditation school app, my team was in Ukraine and we were supposed to start the week the war started. And that was pretty intense. And so we basically built the app through the war. They're still okay. They're doing good. And then, you know, the war in the Middle East started. So that's created a lot of tension in the region and all across the world. Actually, last month, time of this recording, I was at Cornell University in upstate New York teaching world peace meditations. And that was pretty wild because they were in the news constantly for protests and somebody saying something anti-Semitic and then a student saying some pretty dark stuff. And they had to close the campus down. Someone got arrested for hate crimes. And all this time I'm teaching weekly global peace meditations there. And so that was quite a trip just to watch all that happen and be a part of it. And it's kind of, I would say on the campus side, it's died down. And then we saw in the news, the heads of Harvard and UPenn, MIT had to go in front of Congress and they got in some hot water. So there's been a lot of intense energy, the energy of hate, violence, war, all of that's been permeating on the planet and in our consciousness recently. And then on the other side of it, we have this incredible new invention called AI that is speeding everything up, making things easier, people probably losing their jobs, everyone, you know, making people anxious. And it is a kind of, the ground feels a bit uneasy, definitely. And so if you're feeling that way, you're probably not alone, and even more important to start meditating or get deeper into your practice if you aren't or haven't yet. I think it's a huge help. And, you know, in historical context, I think it's probably still the best time to be alive and one of the best times to ever be alive, you know, in terms of the kinds of food we can eat, access to medical care, you know, travel, technology, human rights. You know, if you go back in history, it's been worse and worse and worse the further you go back. So as messy as the world is today, I think the main thing is we're more plugged in. And so the problems hit us within seconds when they happen. You know, we're taking 8 billion people's issues. We take the 5 worst things that happen every day. And then we intravenously just put them into our consciousness through the news. Every moment we check our phone. So I don't know if things have gotten worse, maybe a little bit recently, but I think it's more the exposure to the information that is kind of relentless and our inability to deal with it. And I think even today, I was watching the heads of all the social media companies were in front of Congress defending themselves and getting yelled at for the effects of social media on kids. And so we've got new problems to deal with, too much information, too much speed, right? All of it. Maybe we just feel like we don't have enough space physically and energetically. And I think we're all feeling a bit that way, but I'm very positive and optimistic about the world and the future. Maybe I'm alone in that.
You might be. I don't know. I'm actually optimistic as well. I think that's a really great point that we have so much exposure to everything that's happening, and we have it so quick, like it's almost immediate in real time that we can get information about things that are unfolding in the world. Where it used to be that news would be a little bit older, so it had a little time for maybe some of the charge and energy to dissipate, a little time to make more sense of it, not to just be constantly hit with something with really no filters, and everything's just coming right into us. And we get easily overwhelmed with the energy when we're open and exposed to just the charge and the frequency of all the kind of chaos that's happening. You know, from an energetic or spiritual side, anytime we're taking a step where we're kind of breaking down an old level of stuckness or an old system, it gets a little chaotic, a little ungrounded. So a lot of what we're seeing in many cases is a step that's kind of being taken or kind of a growing pains of trying to move things forward. Not that war is necessarily that's kind of a breakdown of the ability, I think, to grow and progress. And then so now we're regressing when we're caught in a war and so much destruction is happening. But just growth in general and moving forward to a new way of doing things, a new way of seeing things, a new way of interpreting our experiences, that causes a little bit of an unsettled feeling. And when we can build forward and go to that next better step, then everything is better off. But I do think that there is this place where when things start to become too destructive, then growth can't really happen. And now we're kind of regressing. So we see that happening in a few places in the world, but we also see tremendous things that are shifting in the direction of growth. And so I'm optimistic in that regard. Yeah.
And a lot of people that I work with and students, I'm noticing certain trends. A lot of folks are really looking for either healing and or finding their life purpose and path. And the world can make it easily feel like there isn't one. It's like my purpose is to avoid chaos and death. Right. And that's a very survival consciousness kind of energy. But in reality, we have to really take a good deep look at why we're on this planet beyond just surviving, because none of us will. We all have an expiration date sooner or later. And so the question is, what do we do with this very, very little precious time we have on this planet? And so is it to open up to love? Is it to be creative? Is it to be an explorer and journey? You know, why am I on this planet? Am I really focusing my energy, or am I allowing the world to push me around and set the agenda for me? For a lot of my students, I notice before they can fully even ask those questions, sometimes they need to do a lot of inner healing work, the stuff that's made them feel confused and stuck, brought their self-worth down, made them feel like life wasn't worth living. Whatever energies hit them earlier in life or hitting them now, they have to learn how to deal with them, heal them, and release them, and then open up into that deeper level of purpose. And part of the purpose can also just be the healing itself. In my experience, if you're able to do that and focus on that and really work on that energy, then everything else starts to settle and you can have a sense of peace and stillness even amongst, you know, in the midst of all the chaos that tends to be happening in the world. And if you are somebody that's noticing a lot of chaos and you don't like it, and maybe part of your life purpose and path is to help ground the chaos, heal the chaos, bring in order, you know, help people out of confusion. I was with someone recently who was really profoundly committed to being vegan, really into human animal rights, and from the tiniest creature to the biggest. And I thought that was great. I loved this person's just commitment to not hurting animals. Does that mean everybody's life path should be just about not hurting animals? No, this was their path and their passion, and it was wonderful to see it. But yours is probably in whatever pulls on you, you know, whatever is bothering, whatever keeps entering your consciousness over and over and over. So when I hear somebody complain about the same thing over and over, usually I want to ask them, well, do you want to do something about it? Is this part of your path? Or are you just going to sit in a victim consciousness or in an armchair and be a broadcaster of problems? Or are you actually interested in leaning in and making the world a better place? You know, maybe ironing out some of the parts of your character, some of the edges that are creating friction in the world for you and for others, or are you just kind of sitting back and commentating and complaining? So there's a lot in the world we cannot control, enormous amounts, but there are some things, especially on the inside of us, that we can start to focus on and control. And so the things that make you anxious or the things you can't control, refocus your energy on what you can change and shift from the inside out. And then I think you'll start to notice a difference in your anxiety and stress levels, your impact on the world, and just your overall happiness. And so maybe one of the themes for me for 2024 is that kind of spiritual responsibility and autonomy for your own energy and making a path for yourself, even in the midst of chaos.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think that's why I've always gravitated towards this practice of not just meditation, but meditation with this energy awareness or an awareness of our own sensitivity and then our relationship to the energetic world, because that's the place where we can start to get many of those answers that you were just alluding to, answering our questions, not only about what is my purpose, but where should my energy be put today? What's important to focus on today? Where am I going to move forward or get an answer in the immediate moment? And where can I have the biggest impact with my energy? It's very easy to get overwhelmed with so much coming in, and then we're just kind of spinning, or we get caught in the place where we've absorbed it all, and now we're just in what you were just like talking about, where you're either feeling overwhelmed and like a victim to it, like there's nothing I can do, or broadcasting it. And the way out of that, I think, is to come into this level of awareness that we talk about in our intuitive training, not to be an intuitive reader necessarily, but to be in touch with that part of yourself so that you can ask these questions internally and get a guidance, get a level of an answer and a direction to start to put your energy toward. And when you do that a little bit each day and you get an answer and you start to put your energy toward that place where you're going to get healing or you're going to get growth or you're going to open up an opportunity, things start to shift very quickly, actually. It's kind of always amazing to me how quickly things can shift in someone's reality and universe when they start to use the awareness tools and take the time to meditate and really begin to work on themselves. And it's, you know, we work on ourselves to become more aligned and internally healed and kind of whole, but ultimately it's to be in the world in a way that we really want to show up, where we're able to express our energy and creativity and ideas in the world in a very positive way. And then things come back to us in a very positive sense when that is happening. So I think that's a great kind of theme that you just laid out for the year. From my perspective and practice and you know, the students that I work with, that we really focus on healing. So that's always kind of a theme, whether it's healing oneself or healing the things around you, kind of bringing things into a better state and a better energy level, as we might say, is such an important thing.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Thank you. The last few years I've been doing a lot of men's work, and I'm actually doing a free men's night on Zoom. I don't have the date in front of me, February 20 something. It's on my website, meditationschool.us. With an awesome teacher named Keith that I work with. And I've noticed a lot of great healing also happening in the masculine and a lot of being around men who are starting to take more responsibility for themselves and the work that they want to do in the world and trying their best to catch up to the women.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely. I taught a class at CU Boulder this past year on finding purpose. And I remember one of the students asking me about what to do with feeling anxious. And, you know, it seems like a very broad, common question. It's the most common thing, most common reason people come to meditation for, they're feeling anxious. And instead of answering it like with some prescription of like step one, two, and three, let's get the anxiety out of here, I said, well, what do you actually feel under the anxiety? And she took a moment and said, I can't exactly remember, it was something along the lines of, well, I feel invalidation, like I'm not good enough. And I said, oh, okay. And where do you sense that comes from? And the whole class is watching, right? And she was like, oh, yeah, I feel like I need to live up to my parents' expectations. And I was like, oh, now we're really getting somewhere. I don't even think anxiety is your problem. It's the byproduct of not feeling good enough, or like the sense of you're not enough. And that's bubbling up into the feeling of anxiety, maybe just like general anxiety. And a lot of people are functioning in that consciousness. They think it's they have to be somewhere in an hour. They have to pay bills. They have to get more done. But when they slow down enough and they really look inside, it's almost always, always something much deeper. And it's so easy to cover that up with all the information and movement happening in the world. The speed of the events can distract us from slowing down enough to realize that there's something under the hood that's causing the anxiety or the stress or the distraction. And the reason people don't like to look is because it freaking hurts when you look. You know, you feel the pain, you see it, you experience it when you slow down. And so it's easier to distract. But when we slow down and we meditate on it, that's the only time it, you know, really comes out. And then when we heal ourselves, that's when our path becomes more clear. So that was an interesting experience. I just wanted to relay that I had. And then last one I want to mention is I was in Australia last year. And I got to be on a panel at the Australian Museum in Sydney, really lovely group of people. And we had a panel of scientists and artists, my friend Leela and me. And why they invited me, I have no idea. Yeah, you talk about stuff with these two interesting people. Cody, where are you? I need someone to bounce off of. I don't know what to say. And but it was really great to hear some of their questions and be on the other side of the planet and see the same exact issues in people that I see in the United States.
Interesting.
Yeah, all the time. And just today I was on Insight Timer, where I have courses. I respond to the questions in the courses. And I've responded to thousands of questions over the years. And everyone from every country imaginable, the human condition is the same every freaking where you go. It doesn't matter. And that was just a reminder going to Australia and some other places teaching this past year, seeing that. And also, you know, the comments today, answering those questions. And as a teacher, being able to find a sense of neutrality and compassion at the same time, you know, not let it overwhelm me and be able to still show up and be present. I found the men's work has actually been really, really helpful for that. I hope you come to this men's thing.
Yeah. You had told me about it, invited me. I am going to check it out.
No ladies sneaking in. All right. Yeah. I know you want to know what's going down. But this is just for us this time, all right?
It is great to hear that you've been doing some men's work. You know, over the years in doing this work, I just realized it's 2024. So when I first started in this work, it was 1984. So it's been 40 years that I've been both, you know, a practitioner and a student of this work and then a teacher of intuitive awareness and energy work. And it's always been more women coming to do this kind of work than men. Although I've seen that shift over the years, and now it does seem to be more open to men, and we're getting more of a balance of men and women working together.
Yeah.
Which is so important, because if we are talking about raising the awareness, say, in ourselves, but also on the planet, it can't just happen with one side doing the work. You know, everybody has to be taking these steps of learning to get centered and meditate and become more sensitive and aware of one's own energy and other people's and relating to other energies with that awareness and that sensitivity. So it is so important that everybody kind of learn their whatever aspect of this kind of work that they might be interested in.
And speaking of balancing the masculine and feminine, and so we have an intuitive training coming up. Me and Cody aren't teaching it, but wonderful teacher Brandon Wilcox is from Colorado, and Marjorie, our teacher, she's in Florida, she's from Venezuela. And I've known Marjorie for a very long time, both of them, but Marjorie much longer. She was teaching back in Hawaii when I was there. And before me even. And so we have a masculine energy, feminine energy teaching the next year long intuitive training. When does that start?
I think March, the first Tuesday in March. March 5th, maybe?
March 5th. Awesome. So yeah, that's once a year. And these guys are going to do this round. I'm really excited for them to teach another group of people how to do intuitive readings, how to learn how to meditate using energy tools and all the amazing magic that comes with it. So it's pretty cool. Shout out to those guys. So I want to finish by maybe acknowledging the difficulty for a lot of people over the last couple of years, whether it was COVID, war, you know, just internal strife that you've been going through psychologically, emotionally. If you've lost somebody, if you lost a job, had a relationship, had a hard time in some way, you know, this is part of the experience of being a human and the human condition. I don't know if it gets easier or harder from here, but you can use certain tools to make it smoother and enjoy the ride. You know, I love the saying, if you want to find your purpose, find what breaks your heart. So what you really care about, what pulls on you, what takes your attention, you know, what you wake up thinking about, what you go to sleep thinking about, what you seem to not be able to get an answer around, that's probably what you should lean into and what's going to open up into something meaningful. So if there's a ton of confusion around one topic or a lot of pain around a certain area of your life, probably where your attention should be and where your path is. And, you know, if you're focusing a lot on some external conflict in the Middle East or somewhere else, and that's good for you and you're contributing in some way, great. If it's just a distraction and a place for you to channel anger while you ignore what's going on inside you, maybe not so great. So you have to be honest about that with yourself. And I'm putting a blessing on everybody listening to this episode that you have an amazing 2024 and that you really step into whatever you're here to do on this planet, even if it is kind of dicey. And maybe you need to learn some ninja skills like Cody. He's got his karate skills. Maybe there's a new set of skills you need to learn, like in Napoleon Dynamite. You know, you need skills.
David's got his hockey skills. So he knows how to bowl his way through something.
That's right. And I've lost a couple of teeth because of it.
Right. Yeah. Thank you all. That is so important to highlight, though, is things happen in this human experience that are very difficult, and we're all subject to them. And having a few tools on how to kind of get into a little bit different space, a little bit different level of awareness relative to what we're going through, to get a perspective where we can get an answer or see a solution or recognize the growth potential within that experience can be very helpful. That's kind of one of the things that we really practice at Energy Matters and in our different courses and the tools that we teach and through David's meditation school. And when I work with people in mediumship, there is always the kind of core notion of helping someone get grounded and centered in their authentic self and in kind of their true sense of what they're here to be doing so that they can move forward on their path. And we're all actually practicing that. We're all subject to that question. So yeah. I think this 2024, I'm actually looking up relative to this year. It has been a rough, you know, few years, actually. It seems like since 2020, everything's just been in disruption. But how to kind of stay grounded and centered in the middle of massive change and disruption is a practice, and it is certainly something that we all can gain a lot from learning that practice.
Yeah, and if you're looking for the ultimate answer to life, the universe, and everything, then it's 42. Just run with
it's well known. Yeah. Well documented so answer.
Cody, thanks for hanging again. Good to
thank
see
you, David.
Let's make some more episodes. It's the Energy Matters podcast. Intuitive training starts March 5th. If you want to jump in with Marjorie and Brandon, high five, everyone. Love you. See you soon.
Great to see you all. See you soon. Bye.